Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes this: Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. As we look forward to this new year, 2016, we get caught up every year, it seems like, more and more with kind of reassessing our values, our priorities. You know, we spend more time in these next few weeks, it seems like, as a people, taking that long, hard look at ourselves and our lives and the way we're leading them than at any other point in the year. And it's a good thing. It's really a shame that we only really take stock and reassess our priorities collectively as a people this one time and not really very often the other 11 months out of the year. Because when you think about it, your priorities are like the rudders on a ship. They steer your life. We all have different priorities, and some priorities are more important to us than others. But it's also true that everyone has one priority that kind of rules and governs them all. And I want you to think about what that number one priority in your life would be right now. There are a whole number of different options, things that it could be. For some people, family is their number one priority. For others, it's their jobs. For others, it's their retirement or something they're looking forward to in the future. But whatever it is, you'll be able to tell what that number one priority is when a conflict arises, when a choice has to be made. So for instance, if you've got a job commitment and a family commitment that come up at the same time, you'll be able to tell pretty quick where that number one priority lies with your job or with your family, because you have to choose one or the other. If your number one priority is your job, then more than likely that priority is going to win out when a conflict arises. If your number one priority is your family, then that priority will be reflected in the decisions that you make, in the way that you live your life. If your number one priority is your retirement and having a good nest egg saved for when you can finally retire and not work anymore, then the decisions you make, the purchases that you make, all of that will be reflected by that first priority. If your number one priority is God, and that's a priority for you and your family, then your decisions, your actions throughout the week will be reflected by that priority. Now, as Jesus said, sometimes what happens is we try to juggle our priorities and we try to hold two of them or more kind of at that same level. But as I said, when push comes to shove, essentially, eventually one is going to win out over another, which is why Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one or love the other, or be devoted to one or despise the other. And this is true when it comes to the priorities in our lives. We all have to live with one priority. And as children of God, as followers of Jesus, God has called us to make the number one priority in our lives him. We see a little bit of this reflected in that story for today from the Old Testament, the story of Solomon. Now, Solomon, what had happened was God had, early in his reign, after his dad had handed the reins of the kingdom over to him, God appeared to Solomon and gave him this opportunity to assess and reassess his priorities. He appeared to him in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you." This was God's blank check to Solomon. You know, the sky's the limit. Ask whatever you want. Solomon asked for wisdom. In asking for wisdom, Solomon revealed what his number one priority was. Now, it wasn't wisdom in and of itself. He was asking for wisdom as a means to an end. He asked for wisdom so that he'd be able to rule the kingdom well, like his father David had done. He was asking for wisdom so that he'd be the kind of king that would walk in the ways of God as his father had done. He wanted to be able to judge and to discern what was right and what was wrong. His number one priority in his request for wisdom, he revealed, was God himself. And then God responded to Solomon's request for wisdom by giving him those things that he hadn't asked for. And Solomon didn't ask for riches, didn't ask for fame or power or the life of his enemies. But God gave him these things that he didn't ask for as well. And when we hear the story of Solomon and God coming and giving him this kind of blank check, and it's hard not to hear this story and imagine ourselves in Solomon's shoes. To think, oh, what would I do? What would I request? If God came to me in a vision tonight and said the same thing to me that he said to Solomon, ask what I shall give you. What would I ask for? Would I ask for riches? Would I ask for wisdom? Would I ask for honor or fame? Would I ask for long life for myself or my family? Whatever your request would be, whether selfish or unselfish, it would reveal where your priorities lie. It would reveal what that number one priority in your life would be. And this story catches our imagination, and some people use this passage to teach a message of prosperity, that if we just, you know, kind of order our lives the right way, if we ask from God the right things, then God will give us all the things that we really want in return. They use this passage to say things like, you know, if you just ask God for wisdom, you ask God to lead a good life, then he'll give you all the things that you really want, the riches and the fame and the honor and the long life. But that's really just using God as a means to an end. It reveals that the true priorities that we have oftentimes aren't God and the things of God. Oftentimes our priorities are ourselves, our families, our wants, and our desires. Nearly a third of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount addresses this issue of priorities. As Jesus is preaching this sermon and he's talking to people, he's talking to them about the things that govern their lives, the things that drive them. And he's saying in this message that we shouldn't run after those things that we run after so often, wealth and security and power. Instead, Jesus, as he sums up this sermon, he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, he's not saying that in the sense that if you seek God's kingdom first, then you will be healthy and wealthy and successful and all the rest. But he's saying that these gifts of God flow out first from who God is and what he's given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's all too easy for us to take our own selfish desires and try to make ourselves believe that God really wants to give us these things that we selfishly desire. It's important to reassess where our priorities really lay, because our sinful natures tend over time to turn us away from God and to turn us to those things that we desire for ourselves. And this can have devastating consequences when our first priority becomes something other than God. You see that as you follow through the life of Solomon. See, Solomon, he began his reign, you could say began it with a bang, began it the right way, asking for wisdom so he'd be able to rule Israel the way his father David had done. And God gave him the wisdom that he desired. He gave him all of those other things that he said would be his as well, honor and riches and fame and power. Solomon was able to consolidate and establish the kingdom of Israel in a way that his father had not been able to do. People from all over the surrounding countries heard of Solomon's wisdom, and they came to visit him to hear him speak. Solomon was the wealthiest king Israel had ever known. He built the temple of God in Jerusalem. And yet for all of the things he accomplished, his reign was not a complete success. Because as he got older, his priorities began to change. That first priority, which had been God early on, had switched. And over time, what you see was, as Solomon accumulated more and more wives, his priority became keeping his wives happy rather than serving God. And so as you read the story of Solomon, what happened was, as he had built the temple of God in Jerusalem, he also began to build temples, high places of worship, to all of the foreign gods that his wives had served. His first priority, serving God, had changed to keeping his wives happy. And that had devastating consequences for him and for his family and for Israel. It was his son after him, Rehoboam, who, for as wise as Solomon was, he was foolish. And the kingdom of Israel was split under him. See, the kingdom of Israel was only consolidated as one kingdom over three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And so Solomon, you could say, from a material standpoint, was Israel's greatest king, but he was also Israel's last king, in the sense of the united kingdom. Solomon, because his priorities had changed, his life kind of fell apart at the end. And you probably never have the exact same problem that Solomon did. But what happens, I know what happens in my life, we tend to lose focus, and our first priority changes over time. We get caught up in the things of this world, in our lives, in our families, in the worries of this world, and that first priority of keeping God in his place changes. Sometimes so subtly that we don't even realize it at first. And it's only in those moments of conflict, when we have choices to make, that we realize in retrospect that God, we've taken him off that pedestal, having that primary place of importance in our lives. But we were created to have God as our number one priority. This is why when God gave the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment he gave was, "You shall have no other gods but me." And we can tell we've kind of replaced God as that number one place in our lives whenever we begin to fear, love, or trust in something or someone other than him. So when you fear the things of this world more than God, whether it's ISIS or the weather or whatever it is, then you know that has replaced God as the number one priority in your life. You know, when you begin to love comfort more than God, when that becomes your number one priority, instead of using the gifts and the time and the talents that God has given you to bless others, you hoard them for yourselves because comfort is your number one priority. When you begin to trust in doctors more than God, when your happiness is dependent on the health that your doctors can give you, you know that that has replaced God as the number one priority in your life. Now, the story of Solomon is a cautionary story in terms of the priorities that we should have and the priorities that we often have in place of God. Because in Solomon, we see a guy who began his reign with God as the number one priority in his life, and we see how that changed over time. How God was no longer the number one priority. How his family, how keeping his wives happy became his first priority. And we see the effects, what happens through that. And personally for me, it's a relief that the Bible doesn't gloss over stories like Solomon's. You know, the Bible and the stories that we read and the people, the names that we remember, they're not held up as these super saints, men and women who never fail. We see them in all their glory and we see them in all of their failures. It's a relief to me to know that the saints of God that we read in the Bible, they've struggled in the same ways that we have. They faced the same temptations that we have. And yet God continued to love and care for them. It's a relief to me to know that they needed the same mercy and forgiveness in Jesus that I need every day. And so as you look to this new year and you take stock of your priorities and what really matters, you realize that God has slipped a little bit, that something else has replaced him as your number one priority, then we have this opportunity to confess that to God, to receive that forgiveness in Jesus. And as I began this sermon with these words from 2 Corinthians, I'll end them with them as well. Therefore, Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. See, this new year, never forget that through our baptisms into Christ, you are a new creation now, and you're being renewed every day. When our priorities fail to match up to the priorities that God would have for us, we have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness and to be renewed once again through His Son, Jesus. In His name, amen.